Now, for this next reading, I would like to actually separate the room a little bit. You don't have to move, but I would like the first three rows of the congregation to read the regular block writing up there, and the back three rows and beyond. I would like you folks to read the italicized. And this reading is "It Matters What We Believe" by Sophia Lyon Fawes. First row.
Beliefs are like walled gardens. They encourage exclusiveness and the feeling of being especially privileged. Other beliefs are expansive and lead the way into wider and deeper sensibilities. Some beliefs are like shadows, clouding children's days with years of unknown humanity. Other beliefs are like sunshine, blessing children with the warmth of happiness. Some beliefs are divisive, separating the safe from the unsafe, friends from enemies. Other beliefs are bonds in the world community where sincere differences unify the pattern. Some beliefs are like blinders, shutting off the power to choose one's own direction. Other beliefs are like gateways, opening wide vistas for exploration. Some beliefs weaken a person's selfhood. They invite to the growth of resourcefulness. Other beliefs nurture self-confidence and enrich the human and personal world. Some beliefs are rigid, like the body of death, impotent in the changing world. Other beliefs are pliable, like the unsapling, ever-growing of the upper crust of life.
Well done, y'all. Okay. Now, Rita, you have the floor.
I'm so glad to be with you all today. I know many of you by name, but not by face, so I'm happy to be here with you. Tales of Love and Fear from Tanzania. Sounds so romantic, exotic, and exciting, doesn't it? But the truth is, all of us are experiencing love or fear every day, whether we are in Tanzania or in our own living room. The fear is always based on the tale we are telling ourselves about how we aren't enough, there isn't enough, how wrong others are, or how wrong the situation is. The fear may masquerade as depression or anger or disgust or envy or some other negative emotion, but underneath the disguise is fear. Yet the fear is based on a story. In 2003, I was introduced to A Course in Miracles, and you may have heard this recently if you've been watching any of the Democratic debates, because one of our candidates is also a student of A Course in Miracles and writes about it extensively. The Course in Miracles is a psychological self-study program. It has the ability to profoundly affect a person's perception of the world in a positive way, shifting fear-based perceptions to the reality of love. That is the miracle. I'll be sharing some of what I learned from the course and how I put it into practice in Tanzania. In September of 2015, I traveled to Tanzania to spend a month working with my boss, Anita Bowling, the founding director of Village Network Africa. It's a nonprofit created to do humanitarian projects in Africa with a focus on health education, clean water projects, and improved sanitation. Anita, a nurse with a PhD in developmental psychology, says that it breaks her heart that people are dying of diseases because they don't have the knowledge that they need to prevent them. Although the nonprofit is secular, Anita is Catholic and works on the ground with the Sisters of Notre Dame. This could have been a problem for me. I was raised Southern Baptist. My family was at church every time the doors were open. However, in my first year of college, I let myself question whether I believed in God, and I found I couldn't believe in the one that I was brought up with, so I decided I was an atheist. For years, my fundamentalist background left me afraid of churches and even the word God. But my story changed, and 20 years later, I joined a UU church, experienced a lot of spiritual growth, and can now easily toss around the word God without cringing. That was a good thing because I was expected to go to Mass at the Catholic boarding school where I was staying. Everything about the Mass was new to me since I hadn't attended one before. But for all Westerners, Catholic and Protestant, the drumming and the African dancing and the hair-raising would probably be unfamiliar. There was a call and response, again, new to me but familiar to Catholics, between the priest and the girls that went like this. God is good? God is good. All the time? All the time. God is good. All the time. That is his nature. Wow. Okay, to most Catholics, the wow would be something new too, but I love the way the girls said it. For the month I was in Tanzania, I was steeped in Catholic culture and spent a lot of time with nuns. Sister Rashmi, who works with the Maasai tribe in a very remote part of Tanzania, must travel many hours to get from the village to a town where she can buy supplies. One day, as she was traveling back to the village, her driver ran over a guinea fowl. Sister Rashmi yelled, "Stop! Stop!" She got out of the Land Rover, ran back to where the bird was lying in the road. She picked it up, cradling it gently in her arms, and looked down at it lovingly and proclaimed, "These things are delicious." Surprised? We are storytellers. We're constantly telling ourselves stories about the world around us, trying to make meaning of what is happening. For example, in the story I just told you, while I was telling it, you were telling yourself a story as well. So we were surprised when the stories didn't match up. These stories we tell ourselves based on our past and what we think will happen in the future are perceptions, and they are constantly changing. By contrast, the truth is what is actually happening in the moment without a story. So the stories we make up aren't real, yet we act as though these stories, our perceptions, are true. On top of the stories that we are conscious of, there are also the stories created by our culture. They are so insidious that everything is perceived through that lens without us even being aware of it. A Course in Miracles says, whatever you accept into your mind has reality for you. It is your acceptance of it that makes it real to you. Our cultural lens is very real for us. I've learned that traveling can help me question that lens. Once I begin to question my beliefs, I can begin to question what is real, especially my thoughts. My goal is always to be more peaceful, loving, and joyful. If I am not at peace, feeling love or joy, I can question my thoughts, let go of the story, and my feelings will then change as well. Let me set the stage of my stories in rural Tanzania. Dirt roads, houses made of homemade bricks, stucco, or sticks and mud. One paved highway for about 40 cents, a dollar, minibus crammed with passengers, will take you into Arusha, one of the largest cities in the country. Anita and I are staying at a Catholic boarding school for girls in our own private dormitory rooms. They're quite pleasant. We had electricity sometimes, running water most of the time, though not suitable for drinking. Our rooms had flushing toilets, a real luxury, beds with mosquito netting, a necessity, and a large plastic bucket for water with an electrical coil that you put in the water to heat it for bathing. Electricity and water, no fear there. We had a candle and matches and the fixings for instant coffee. Every night we were each handed a thermos, ubiquitous in rural Africa, for the hot water the nuns had boiled for us. The school had a wall around it with a locked metal gate. If you were coming or going, the guard with the scary AK-47 would look out of his brick guardhouse, and if he approved of you, he would come out and open the gate. This was the same guard, gun in tow, who met the darling little preschoolers in their school uniforms, as well as the older children who didn't board at the school. Directly across the narrow dirt road was another locked metal gate that led to Zinduka, a four-story women's center. This is where our hosts, the nuns of Notre Dame, live, and where Anita and I had our meals with them around the table in the small dining room next to the kitchen. In the mornings, we could hear the chickens clucking and the goats bleating from the open window while we ate the eggs that the hens provided. Now, this was my first experience of being around nuns, and I wasn't sure what to expect. My childhood stories about Catholics had been from my Baptist grandmother, and she told me about a great aunt who had run away from a convent and showed up at my grandparents' house, but was tracked down and forced into the car, screaming and fighting, and my grandparents never saw her again. And I had heard stories about the severity of nuns' punishments in the classroom. I believe nuns were strict, pious, judgmental, and did not have a sense of humor. In other words, no fun. What I found instead were hardworking, delightful women who loved to laugh. Sister Satya oversaw the women's center where we held the health education classes for the women's groups, and Sister Tara ran the school. Both were from India. It seems that America sends its nuns to India, and India sends its nuns to Africa. The other nuns were all younger. A few were from Tanzania, one was from Kenya, others were from nearby African countries. All of them spoke English and their native tribal dialect. Some spoke Swahili and some a few other languages as well. Here they all were with their particular cultural lenses living together. And things are lost in translation as well. So it's not always easy, but they made it work. This was their family. One of the nuns who sometimes stayed at the women's center was Sister Esta, a woman in her early 20s, and she was working out in that remote village. One night as she was traveling by bus to the women's center, there was an accident. The bus ran off the road and tipped over. Sister Satya received a phone call about the accident, but no one knew where Sister Esta was. After quickly making arrangements for transportation, Sister Satya and Sister Rashmi headed out into the dark to find her. I was sure this was a lost cause, but I was wrong. They brought Sister Esta back. She was hurt, but not too badly. As she was telling us about the bus tipping over, she added that the bus driver had run away into the bush. Anita and I were both incredulous. He ran away? And just as emphatically, Sister Esta said, yes, he would have been killed if he had stayed there. Sister Esta explained, in Tanzania, people often take justice into their own hands. This was an example of how our cultural lenses were used to judge what happened. The Course in Miracles says not to judge, not because it's wrong or bad, but because we actually can't. We don't know everything that has come before or will come after. In fact, the Course says that the only proper use of judgment isn't about whether things are good or bad, it's how do we feel. Am I at peace? Is there joy? Do I feel love? If not, I can let go of the stories I am telling about the past or the future that are the cause of all my anxieties and fears, from the slightest irritation to a full-blown panic attack or rage, because I don't know if those stories are true. It is difficult not to judge, especially other people who aren't like us, which, let's face it, It's everyone else. We find ourselves judging them based on the stories we are telling ourselves, especially if they don't act as we think they should, especially those we have personal conflict with. The course calls this a special relationship. Basically, the theme of the story we tell ourselves is, if this person or situation were different, I would be happy. This makes the other person or the situation responsible for our own unhappiness. How convenient for us! The special relationship happens in the moment. So, for example, I can have a special relationship with my husband when he doesn't load the dishwasher correctly. Or I can change it to love, and the next moment, just by dropping the story of how he needs to change in order for me to be happy. The Course calls this a holy relationship. So at any given time, you are either in a special relationship or a holy relationship. My biggest fear about the trip was being around someone 24/7 who was so different than myself. And I was going to be around my boss for a month. Anita is an extrovert, impulsive, politically conservative, a devout Catholic, and a widow. She has a refreshing, childlike exuberance, wears her emotions on her sleeve, and unabashedly asks for whatever she wants. Of course, my fears were all based on my stories of what could happen. And you can be sure there were lots of opportunities for special relationships. I would be happy if you were different, Anita. Fortunately, after years of studying A Course in Miracles, I know that if I'm unhappy, I've made the wrong decision and I've judged. I've judged inappropriately and created a special relationship. Remembering my goal is peace, love, and joy, no matter what is going on around me. I don't like being unhappy, so I give up my need to be right, my thoughts that things or people have to be a certain way for me to be happy, because it doesn't get me closer to my goal. And anyway, it's based on a story from the past or one I've created about the future. The sooner I give up the story and get into the present, the sooner I'm at peace and in a holy relationship. And here's another example. Anita and I were on our way home. There were several obstacles. No airplane. Then, once we were on the plane, a delay to deboard a sick passenger. Before takeoff, further delays. And finally, we were off too late to arrive in time for our connecting flight home. This was an opportune time for a special relationship to think, I would be happy if this situation was different. I just wanted to go home. But aware of my judgments, I turned to the only valid use of judgment. How am I feeling? Am I at peace? Not really. So I worked at letting go of my story. Well, our plane arrived in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, and they had held our connecting flight for us. We board, and we sit on the tarmac for 2.5 hours. There was no reason to worry about our plane being late getting there. There was a problem with the plane. We deboard. It's 12:30 in the morning. We're given a meal, and 3 hours later, everyone is required to line up to get visas to enter Ethiopia. And then we are taken to different hotels. With large groups of very grumpy people checking in at the same time with passports and visas, it is 5:30 in the morning before we are in our rooms. 4 hours later, the shuttle shows up 1.5 hours early. When I climb aboard the shuttle and sink wearily into a seat, Anita, who gets on behind me, pauses at the front of the bus and asks loudly and cheerfully, like a camp counselor, How is everyone feeling? How did you all sleep? This is when my internal banshee was screaming, do you have to do that? Nobody wants to hear this. Or essentially, I would be happy if you were different. But I let go of the story, and how did the people on the shuttle respond? Like it was a big party. With cheer. And how was I feeling? At peace, relaxed, and happy. This is what I've learned. If I don't like how I'm feeling, I let go of the story. Be in the moment. Let go of holding other people responsible for my own perceptions and my happiness. Let go of my judgments and move from fear towards love. That's the miracle. And who doesn't want to feel love? Love is good. All the time? All the time. Love is good all the time. That is our nature. Wow.